Welcome back. In this lesson, we're making a dark, gritty riser in Ableton Live 12 using a subsign approach, then layering it with a crunchy sampler texture to get that urban, old-school jungle and drum and bass tension. Think of this as the kind of transition that sneaks up under the tune, builds pressure, and then gets out of the way right before the drop hits. This is beginner-friendly, but it still sounds proper. We are using stock Ableton devices only, so you can follow along without hunting for extra plugins. First, let's set the scene. We want a riser that feels low, murky, and serious at the start, then more open, brighter, and rougher as it climbs. In drum and bass, that matters a lot because the transition should add energy without stealing the groove. If the riser is too loud or too wide, it can weaken the impact of the kick, snare, and sub bass when the drop lands. So the goal here is tension, not chaos. Start by creating a new MIDI track and name it something like Riser Sub Plus Crunch. Set your project tempo somewhere around 170 to 174 BPM, if it isn't already there. That's the classic D&B zone. Place your riser so it happens right before the drop. If you're just starting out, make it a simple 2-bar riser. That gives you enough time to hear the movement clearly without making the arrangement complicated. A good starting point is to let the first bar feel darker and more contained, then let the second bar open up and get more intense. Now let's build the first layer, which is the subsign foundation. Add operator to the MIDI track. Operator is a great choice here because it's clean, simple, and very easy to shape. Set oscillator to a sine wave. Keep everything else simple for now. We want this layer to feel like pressure underneath the track, not a flashy lead sound. Draw in a MIDI note or a few notes that rise in pitch over the two bars. If you want the easiest beginner method, just make a few notes stepping upward every half bar or quarter bar. Start low, around C1 or D1, and slowly move upward. Don't make it too melodic. This is more about motion and tension than about a tune. A useful range is to start somewhere around 40 to 60 Hz and rise toward about 120 to 180 Hz by the end of the riser. That keeps it in the sub-B, physical zone at the start, then lets it climb into more audible territory as it approaches the drop. If you push the pitch too high, it stops feeling like a sub-riser and starts feeling like a tonal effect. So keep it low enough to maintain that heavy, serious vibe. Next, shape the sound so it feels like a build instead of a flat drone. In operator, keep the attack quick, around 0 to 20 milliseconds. You can use a moderate decay if needed, somewhere around 1 to 3 seconds. Keep sustain lower or moderate, and use a release around 100 to 400 milliseconds. After operator, add auto filter. Set it to a low-pass filter. Start with the cutoff fairly low, maybe around 150 to 300 Hz, then automate that cutoff upward over the rise. Keep resonance moderate, just enough to give the sweep a bit of character without making it whistle. This is one of the most important moves in the whole lesson. In D&B, a clean filter sweep can make a build feel much bigger because it creates anticipation without needing a huge impact sound. If you want, you can map the cutoff to a macro later for easier control. Now for the fun part, the crunchy sampler texture. This is what gives the riser that urban, old-school jungle personality. We're adding dirt, crackle, and movement so it feels lived in, not polished and generic. You can do this on a second MIDI track or in the same rack. Add simpler and load up a short sample. Great choices are vinyl crackle, a chopped break fragment, room noise, tape hiss, a machine hum, a dusty snare tail, or even a tiny vocal fragment buried low in the mix. If you want a jungle-inspired vibe, a chopped bit of an old breakbeat works really well. That little bit of sampler grime can do more than pure white noise because it feels like part of a real track, not just an effect. In simpler, keep the sample region short. Use classic mode if you want a straightforward playback style, or slice if you want a more chopped feel. Turn warp on if the sample needs it. Then add the filter and shape the tone. A good starting point is a low-pass or band-pass filter with a cutoff somewhere around 800 Hz to 3 kHz. Keep resonance low to moderate, around 5 to 15%, and keep this layer lower in volume than the sign. It should support the build, not dominate it. Now automate the sample filter cutoff upward during the riser. That way it starts darker and grinnier, then gets brighter and more urgent near the end. This is a classic way to make a texture feel alive. To make it hit harder, add saturator after simpler. Set drive somewhere around 2 to 8 dB, turn soft clip on, and then trim the output so it doesn't get too loud. This gives the sample layer more bite and density. For the sine layer, keep saturation very light or skip it altogether. The contrast is important. The sine should be clean and centered. The sample layer should carry the dirt. Now group both instruments into an instrument rack. This keeps things organized and makes it easier to control the whole riser with a few simple controls. If you want, create macros for rise, filter open, crunch, and width or space. That means one macro could control the pitch movement or the feel of the rise, another could open both filters, another could increase saturation or sample volume, and another could add reverb or delay. For a beginner, this is a huge workflow boost because it keeps you from getting lost in too many automation lanes. Speaking of space, let's add a little reverb or delay. Keep it subtle. We're not trying to wash out the mix. We're just trying to give the riser a little extra lift near the end. If you use reverb, try a decay around 1.5 to 3.5 seconds. Keep the high end controlled and automate the dry slash wet from 0 up to maybe 10 to 20% near the final part of the build. If you use delay, keep the feedback low and the dry slash wet small, just enough to add a little width and motion. A really important ENB tip here: don't let the riser hang over the drop too much. The transition should feel clean. In the last quarter bar, start pulling the riser back a bit or cut the tail short, so the first drum hit lands with full force. Now we need to tighten the low end. This is crucial. In drum and bass, the riser should create excitement, but it should not fight the incoming sub-bass. Put EQ8 on the riser chain. High pass the crunchy layer somewhere around 120 to 200 Hz, so it doesn't clog the low end. If the sine layer feels too heavy, either keep its volume lower or gently high pass it too, but be careful not to remove the weight that makes the riser feel powerful. Also listen for harshness between about 2.5 and 5 kHz. If the sample bites too hard, smooth that area down a bit. You want grit, but not pain. If you want extra motion, you can add a very subtle pitch automation to the sample, or use frequency shifter lightly for a metallic edge. Redux can also work if you want a bit of lo-fi crunch. Just use these carefully. Small amounts go a long way in fast music like DNB. Another great trick is to resample the whole riser to audio once you like it. That lets you trim the tail tightly, reverse it, or chop it more creatively. In jungle and old school inspired music, resampling is often where the magic happens because it turns a simple idea into something more committed and unique. Now let's talk arrangement. A common setup is an 8-bar intro, then a 4-bar build, then a 2-bar riser into the drop. Your riser should sit inside that structure and make the transition feel more urgent. In jungle style writing, the riser can even answer the drums like a call and response phrase. That gives the track a more musical, conversational feel. As you test it, mute the riser and listen to the drop entry, then unmute it. If the drop suddenly feels more dangerous and more satisfying, you're on the right track. That's the whole job of a good riser. Let's cover a few common mistakes. First, don't make it too loud. If the riser is too loud, the drop loses impact. Second, don't let the sine climb too high. Keep it weighty and serious. Third, don't overdo the stereo width in the low end. Keep the sine centered and mono-friendly. Fourth, don't overcrunch the sample. If it gets fizzy or harsh, dial it back. Fifth, don't forget to cut the riser before the drop. Even a tiny gap can make the drop hit harder. A few pro tips for heavier DNB: keep the sine mono, add just a little saturation before the filter if you want more density, and use a chopped break texture instead of pure white noise for more jungle character. Also, check the riser in mono. If it disappears or gets thin, simplify the stereo effects. Here's a nice practice exercise. Make 3 versions of the same riser. Version 1 is clean, just the sine and filter sweep. Version 2 is crunchy, using simpler with a dusty break fragment, saturator, echo, and a bit of reverb. Version 3 combines both layers into a full hybrid riser. Then place each one before a fake drop made from kick, snare, and sub bass. Compare them and see which one creates the strongest tension and leaves the drop feeling biggest. If you want to level up, bounce the hybrid version to audio and make a second generation edit by chopping or reversing the tail. That's a really useful way to get more character out of a simple sound. So to recap, the formula is simple but powerful. Start with a low, clean sine foundation, add a crunchy sample texture on top, automate the filters and space over time, and keep the low end controlled so the drop can hit hard. In drum and bass, the best risers don't just get louder. They get more tense, more defined, and more dangerous. Give it a go in Ableton Live 12, trust the contrast, and let that urban echo energy build right up to the drop.